2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 says, "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity." Charity is last on that list. It goes on to say, "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." If we have these, we will be a fruitful Christian. If we're lacking these, guess what? We won't be a fruitful Christian. So obviously we want these. We want to be growing in these. And God says this is something you need to add to your faith. So salvation needs to exist. Salvation needs to be there. A lot of people will try and add these things without salvation. They'll try and do these things. And these are all good things to follow after. But if you don't have the framework or the foundation of faith, it's all meaningless. So we need to start with faith. And we give all diligence to add to your faith these characteristics here, these keys. So we come to the last one, and to brotherly kindness, charity. And really, kindness and charity go hand in hand, if you will. They really do. But when we first started this study, I said that most of modern-day Christianity wants to start out at the bottom of the list and work their way to the top. They want to start out with charity and go up from there to kindness, to godliness, and from godliness to patience, to temperance, to knowledge, and then to virtue. But God started, and I think the order is important. If you read after some commentaries, they say the order is not important. You just need all of these. I disagree. I think all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and God wanted it in this way, in this order, and He put it like that on purpose. And He started off with virtue. Now what was virtue? Who remembers when I preached on that, what virtue was? That's right, the strength to stand for truth, the ability to stand. It's important that we have that. And we need that first, is the ability to stand for truth. And then right after that, what's next? After virtue, then what? Knowledge. Then we need to know what we believe. So you first need a backbone, is what he's saying. You need the ability to stand for what's right. And then you need to know what's right, so you know where to stand. And you have the ability to stand. And then we come all the way down, and then we see charity's last. You add these things, and I'm not saying get all of them at once would be the best thing, amen? But look, we virtue is important, and we need virtue. Because there's that pendulum swing I talk about, and modern-day Christianity says, no, we need charity. But they neglect virtue, and they ignore that one. So they don't stand for anything, and they're all over the place, but they have charity. And I'd say even at that, it's misdefined charity. It's not even biblical. But they place an inordinate amount of importance on charity at the exclusion of the other keys to growing in faith. And that's something we don't want to do. We don't want to be imbalanced. I'm losing the verse here, but a false balance is an abomination to the Lord. We want to be biblically balanced. All of these are important. One's not better or over the others. They're all important. They're all necessary. But I will say, even at that charity does have some definite preeminence as we get into the passage I'm going to preach through on this. I believe the order they're listed is important, though, and we need to be able to stand first and foremost for what we believe. But in doing that, it doesn't mean that we don't have charity. Because, again, just that pendulum and the opposite extremes, there's a ditch on both sides of the road. So some people say, I don't want to go in that ditch, so we jump way over here and we end up in this ditch. Well, we don't need that either. But the extreme is, the charitable person, and I talked a lot about this last week, you can go from being too charitable, and again, it's misdefined, but just compromising on everything, to being over here on this end where you're just staunch and you have a strong stand and you've definitely got virtue, but you have no charity. Well, that's the ditch on both sides. We don't necessarily want that. And some people say, that's compromising. And who's going to say that? Which side's going to say that? This side over here, the virtuous side. And that's a good thing. We need to be virtuous. But look, it's not compromising to be where God wants us to be. I mean, he mentioned charity as being a key to growing in faith. So we definitely need it. We need charity. Charity is last on this list and is most likely, we could say, one of the most important. But not if you don't have the virtue or spiritual strength to stand for right. You can be charitable, and people think you're kind, and they walk all over you and you stand for nothing. And that's not earnestly contending for the faith once delivered unto the saints. That's not what God wants. And charitable doesn't mean you're soft and effeminate either. So that's what else is pushed. You know, you got to speak in a soft voice and all that. Never offend anybody. We don't want to do that. No. I mean, that's what's put out there. I'm telling you, it is. I mean, there's some guys that if you see some preachers, you're like, I don't want to be a preacher. If I got to be like that, I'm telling you, I'm like, I don't want to be a preacher. I wouldn't. I mean, skinny jeans and all, I can't stand skinny jeans. I'll just let you know right now, okay, where I stand on skinny jeans. Those things are effeminate. They are. They're effeminate. And that's still a sin in the Bible. All right, moving on from that. I sidetracked. You know, if you end up in apostasy, but you had charity, you're still wrong. You're still wrong. Doesn't matter. Charity is important. But if you end up in apostasy, you're still wrong. What's commonly implied by many is that you either have charity and compromise or you have virtue and a strong doctrinal stand and you're unloving. And that's what it is. You know, these fundamentalist churches, they don't love anybody. Well, that's, I mean, there's some validity to that argument because that's been true in many cases. And there's validity to the other argument that all these people with all this love, they're compromisers. There's validity to that too. But we don't need to be either one of them. Let's be what God wants us to be right in the middle. And I'll just tell you, you guys know me, for the most part by now, my personality tends to be over here. It absolutely does. And I know that. That's my strength and my weakness. If that makes sense. That's my strength and my weakness. Because it's good that I can take a strong stand, but it's not good that I'm going to be lacking in that. I took a spiritual gifts test and I offered that to you guys. And I knew how I was going to score in mercy. And it was like the lowest that was there. And that needs to come up. It does. That's something I have to work on. So we just have to understand where we're at. We don't need to be this or that. Let's be right where God wants us. That's what we should strive for. And don't make excuses either because you're like, well, I'm naturally inclined to be this. So it doesn't mean God says, so you don't have to worry about this. You don't have to be charitable. That doesn't work like that. Because I guarantee the people that stand over here, and I know that because I are one, but the people that stand over here with virtue and a strong stand will look at them over there on the charitable side and say, they need to be more over here. What's wrong with them? They're compromising. But they could say the same exact thing about us over here. But they're so nice, they're not going to say it in the same way that somebody like us would or like me would, like I would. I'm talking in third person retard, I guess. But they're not going to say it the same way that someone like me would, like I would. I don't even know how to talk anymore. I can't even think. Okay. They wouldn't say it like I would. They'd be like, well, he really should be over here. You know, that'd be much better if he was more this way. But it's compromise just the same for me to be way over there and not be more this way. It's still compromise. Because all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and God says all of it's important. Every one of those keys. Not to exclude one or the other. So I can see their compromise, but I don't want to see mine. You see what I'm saying? So it's wrong either way. Whichever end of the spectrum you're on, we want to be where God says we should be. Again, it's a false premise because we shouldn't want to be either. I want a strong stand and I want to be able to express charity. Guess what? We can be both and we need to be both. That's what we need to be. Not one or the other. Both, or really all seven of these characteristics, these keys. So what does the Bible word charity, what does it mean? I like this. This is a good definition of it. And this is what I'm going to stick with throughout this. Charity has been defined as love in action. Love in action. Some people complain. They say, oh, it should have been translated love. But charity is more descriptive. Charity is more descriptive. Especially today, the word love is so perverted and just thrown around for anything and everything. Like, oh, I love chocolate. But that's not the same as saying I love my wife. Huge difference. Huge difference. I don't even love chocolate. A lot of people do. Okay, I love guns. That I could say. All right? But there's a huge difference between that and the way I love my wife. So love is just thrown around just in so many different ways. And we get by the context what someone's saying. We understand that. But charity is so much more descriptive, has so much more meaning because it's love in action. I'll prove it. You go to John 3:16. Talk about love. Love is an action word. All right, who was too lazy to turn to John 3:16 because you know it? Be honest. I'm just kidding. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he what? He gave an action word. Action. That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." See, love's an action word. Charity's much better, much more meaningful word than love. It's action. It's love in action. Does that describe your Christianity, love in action? And I don't necessarily mean love in action towards your family and friends and people you know. Jesus talked about that. He said, don't the publicans do the same thing? Don't they give gifts to their children? And he's not saying that we're better than publicans or anything, but in the context of him saying that, and in the day that he lived, they were crooked thieves, and they were known as wicked sinners. He's saying, don't these wicked men do that? Don't they give gifts to their children? So what better are you than them if you do the same thing? See, so our love in action shouldn't just be something that's expressed just to our family. Because we're going to do that anyway. Because we love them. If they're our children, they came from our flesh. You naturally love your own flesh. If it's your spouse, you know, your one flesh, you're naturally going to love your flesh. So that's just a given. This goes back to what we learned about kindness last week and looking at the Good Samaritan. He helped someone that couldn't pay him back. That might not have even recognized him. We don't know what condition he was in when they found him. Obviously, he couldn't get up because two other guys came and looked at him and just left him for dead. And the Samaritan shows up and actually helps him. Puts aside the racial tensions that were there and the fact that this man, this Jew, most likely would have never even talked to him. He puts that aside and he helps him. That's love in action. That's charity. It goes beyond just the people that we love and care about. Goes to someone we don't even know, that we're willing to step out and help them. And I say, as we do those things, let them know you're doing it because you're a Christian. Don't be afraid of that. What are we trying to bribe them? No. But you're letting them know the motivation for why you did this. I did this because I love God. Because God loves you. Because God offers you eternal life. Here, let me show you how. Let me give you one of these. So does that describe your Christianity, love in action? Coming off the heels of last week studying on kindness, I could say at least for me, but most likely for all of us, we can add charity to the list of things we need growing in our Christian lives. So how does God view our lives if we're not exhibiting charity or love in action? What does God think of us if we don't have love in action? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we ask you to come before us and help us, guide us. Guide my thoughts and my words. Fill me with your Spirit, Lord. Speak to our hearts. Help us to be like you and display love in action, God. We're going to fight it, Lord, but we need to do it. God, help us. I can think of instances where I've fought it. Lord, forgive me for that. I pray you just humble us and help us be willing to love somebody. Someone that can never repay us. Even if we get taken advantage of, God, help us to do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So how does God view our lives if we're not exhibiting charity or love in action? To be clear, God sees our lives as meaningless if we don't express love in action. You say, how can you say that? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, somebody tell me what the theme, what is that? Love. Love is the theme of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. There's times in the Bible when God will give a definitive chapter on a theme. This one here is the definitive chapter on what love is. The Word of God would be what? Who knows? Psalms 119. Psalm 119. Nearly every verse in that chapter mentions the Word of God. So here we come up upon the subject of love, charity, love in action. So if we are not expressing love in action, then God sees our lives as meaningless. Chapter 13, verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. So God's saying, hey, your life is meaningless if you don't have love in action. You could do all these things and you're nothing. And it profits you nothing. It was a waste. In other words, is what he's saying. If we don't have love, people don't hear us. Isn't that what we want? I mean, we just sang the song, Rescue the Perishing. Why? Because we want people to get saved. I mean, we're praying for lost family members, but if we don't have love, guess what? They're not hearing us. It's just, as the Bible said right there, I become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. You ever heard a sounding brass? I mean, you ever heard like a trumpet or even a saxophone just making noise? You're just like, shut that off. You ever had kids start to learn an instrument? Man, that's what you're like, wait till I'm not here and practice when I'm not here. I mean, seriously, that's how it is. No offense to my children that are practicing instruments. They're good now. I like to hear them now. But there was a time when you didn't. And I was there when I was practicing the trumpet. I'm sure my family hated it because it sounds awful. You don't know what you're doing. You're learning. It's like sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. It's just noise being made. You ever been somewhere where you're trying to have a conversation with someone and someone's just making noise or someone's table across from you is just going, and you're just like, oh, yeah. You're like, oh, well, yeah, huh, what? And they're just, you want to just tell them, stop making that noise. Will you stop that tapping? It's just as a tinkling cymbal. You're not getting it. You're not even concentrating. That's what happens if we don't have love in action. Or sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. People aren't hearing us. We can sound beautiful and eloquent, but if there's no love, it's pointless. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. Oh man, just beautiful, eloquent, just sounds so smooth. There's no love, it's pointless. Our goal as Christians should be for people to hear us. Turn with me to Romans 10. Save your spot, 1 Corinthians. Go to Romans 10, verse 13. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. We want people to hear us. Romans 10:13. Most of us know this verse. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a promise from God. If you call on the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. But verse 14 says this. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not what? Heard. And how shall they hear without a what? A preacher. A voice. If I have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal, and people will not hear me. But they have to hear to get saved. They've got to hear the Word of God. They have to. So it's incumbent on us then that we have charity, that we display love in action. You know, it doesn't matter how you perceive yourself, but how people perceive you. Because you might say, I'm loving, I'm doing this in love. How dare they? Well, they're not going to perceive that as love. I'm just telling you right now. And that's something we all need to watch. If you first offend the lost, they've just, I'm done with you. I'm not going to listen to you. Your words are a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Some people are like that anyway, through no fault of your own. Maybe someone else offended them or their own sin has hardened their heart. But I'm telling you, look, if we don't show love in action, they're not going to listen to us. Whereas sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal, if you first offend them, you'll never get their ear. You just won't. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and what do they have to hear? The word of God. Some preachers purposely want to offend the lost, and I say that's utter foolishness. Their goal is to offend the lost. No, the gospel alone is offensive enough. Just preach the truth of the word of God. That's offensive enough. But they pride themselves in being able to make people offended and get people offended. I don't ever want to offend people. But I do want to preach the truth. We shouldn't want to purposely offend somebody, because when we do that, we've lost any influence we can have on them. Any influence. If the gospel offends somebody, that's one thing, but people pride themselves on offending people. We preach the law to the lost, but do it with love in your voice and heart. Go with the right motives. That's what we do. When you talk to your family, man, that's, you sometimes have to walk on eggshells. I mean, you tell them the truth, but tread lightly. Tread lightly when you talk to them. And back up if you need to. Just say, okay, I'm just going to leave that conversation there. Maybe lose this battle, come back and fight another day. To talk to them. For an open door. Or you can run in like a, you know, charge them like a bull, give them everything you've got, and then they won't ever listen to you again. You can do that too. It doesn't work, but you can do it. We're to be harmless as doves and wise as serpents. Use wisdom in your witnessing. If we don't have charity, the gifts bestowed on us by God are wasted. Verse 2 says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. What God gifts us with, if we have not charity or love in action, it's wasted. You know, a lot of people think too much of themselves because of their talents. They do. They just think highly of themselves. They think because they can preach well or they have an education that they're superior to others. Certainly people are going to listen to me. Look at all the degrees I have. Why wouldn't they listen to me? It's pride. People get the idea that their gift and natural abilities make up for their lack of charity. But God disagrees. He says, no, you can have all these gifts. You can have the gift of prophecy, preaching. You can understand all mysteries. You can have knowledge. You can know a lot about the Bible, have a lot of Bible knowledge. You can have a huge amount of faith. You could remove mountains. But if you don't have charity, God says you're nothing. It's wasted on you. It's wasted on you. So what's he saying the preeminence is? Then charity. Then charity. Is he saying these other things aren't important? No, because we take the Bible as a whole. And again, modern day Christianity wants to say, just hold on to this and throw everything else out the window. No. We don't want to be in that ditch or this one. Let's be right here where God says. They're all important. All of it's needed. You'll win more people if you go with a charitable spirit. Preaching the truth, standing strong on the truth, not compromising the truth, but with a charitable spirit, all in your attitude, the way you approach somebody. If you approach them, you think you're better than them, then you're just going to shut them out. Tinkling brass. Or clanging brass or tinkling cymbal, however it was worded. Go with the right motives. Don't deceive yourself into believing you're immune from God's expectations because you're strong in one area. See, a lot of people think, well, I'm strong in this, so I don't have to necessarily worry about this over here. I'll make up for it here. That's not so. God says, add to your faith virtue, into virtue, knowledge, into knowledge, godliness, and on down the list, all the way through charity. He says, add all these things. He didn't just say, pick two or three that you like and just stick with those. He didn't say that. He said, add all of them. That's what God expects. He expects us to follow all of this. Say, that's impossible. That's why he's going to help us. But it doesn't mean the requirements change just because we can't do it. He says, I expect you to follow this. Get after it. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work it out. Allow God to work inside of you and let it come out. That's what he expects of us. There's no benefit to sacrificing yourself if it's not done in love. Verse 3 of 1 Corinthians 13. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. No benefit if you give wholly of yourself, but it's not done in love. Just because you may be doing what we call charitable things doesn't mean it's done in love. There's a lot of charities out there, a lot of people doing things, they're not even Christians, and they just want to help. You know, they go, you know, save the panda bears or something like that, whatever it is. I mean, there's a lot of charitable things out there that people can do, and they do it, you know, maybe out of love or just thinking they're doing something right or wanting to help the environment, you know, or well, we recycle, we have to save the earth for our kids, whatever. They do these charitable things, but it's not done what we call charitable, but it's not done with true charity, love in action. So it's meaningless. It doesn't mean anything. Let me give you an example. There's a lot of charities out there and kind people who help out, who help others physically, but they completely neglect their spiritual need of salvation. That's not love. That's not love. Not. I know of Christians who've gone on missions trips to Mexico and built houses, installed wells. Those are good things, right? Is anyone arguing that's a good thing? I mean, if I didn't have a home, I would want someone. I mean, these people are living like with pallets and cardboard and stuff. This is their house. And if I didn't have a home, man, I'd be thankful that somebody came and did that for me. But Jesus said, what's a man gained or profited if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? What good is it? So I make you comfortable on your way to hell? Is that love? It's not love. Love warns. Love warns. Am I against doing those things? Absolutely not. Do that. Amen. Because that's an open door to share the gospel with them. Do that. Help them. Be a blessing to somebody. If that was me, I'd want that. And you know what? You got my ear now. I'm going to listen to you now. I'm much more likely to listen to you than I would before. You know, places you frequent, be kind to people. Places you go to often, be kind to people. If you go there and there's always the same homeless guy there, whatever, be kind to him. Give him 50 cents sometimes. Buy him a meal. Start building a relationship with him. Start talking to him. And let it open up into you sharing the gospel with him. Why? He'll listen to you now because you've been kind. Because you've showed love in action. And I'll just be honest, that's a weakness for me. I'm not good at that, but I got to work on it. Doesn't mean I'm excused from it. Doesn't mean I'm excused from it. But we can sacrifice ourselves, give ourselves wholly to this great charitable cause, as we would call it in our society, and it be meaningless. It profit nothing, as the Bible says. Why? Because it's not truly done in love, because we leave that person to die and still go to hell. That's not love. We have to make sure, and it's just constant vigilance, that what we're doing, the way we live our life as Christians, that we're following what God wants us to follow. Our life should be centered on this book. It shouldn't be, you know, let's not play Christianity. I was just reading this morning in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 11, as a matter of fact. And I'm at the place where he's just ripping the Pharisees and the lawyers. I mean, he is just letting them have it. He says in verse 44, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." Calls them hypocrites. He says, "You're hypocrites. You say one thing but do something else." He told the lawyers, "Woe unto you, lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in ye hindered." And then verse chapter 12, Jesus warns them. He says, chapter 12, verse 1, "In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode upon one another, so they're all over each other, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all." So there's all these people there, but he looks to his disciples and he tells them, "Beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees." What is the leaven of the Pharisees? Which is hypocrisy. Sin, it's sin. It's hypocrisy. It's hypocrisy. Don't let that be said of us. Let's not play Christianity. Let's be real and genuine about this thing. Let's let it influence the way we treat people, the way we respond in situations, what we're willing to tell them, that we are willing to step out when we're scared and fearful to share the gospel with them, to invite them to church, to share a track with them. Say, hey, check this out when you get a chance, even if that's all it is. Hey, just read this when you get a chance. If you have any questions, come talk to me. Say, what is it? Oh, it's a Bible study. It shows you how you can know your sins are forgiven. I mean, Isaiah, is he in here? No? Oh, that's all right then. There's better tracks than these for that. Those, the brown ones back there that say the way of the cross leads home, they're on that back table. Give people those better than these. This is more like just an invitation. You have to be there to lead them to the Lord with this one. It's good. I'm not against it. But that one's better. If you're going to hand those out to people like that, use those back there. And next time we order tracks, we're going to get probably 5,000 to 10,000 of the ones Brother Murdoch has put out. Are you a good person? We're going to order those ones. But be willing to do that. Don't be a hypocrite. Live this book. Most people that come in and out of church, and I don't think that's the case here, but I'm not saying we're immune from it, but most people that go to church on a Sunday, they're hypocrites. They're hypocrites. It's not real. They're playing it. And nothing has opened my eyes more to that than Facebook. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. I was shocked when I first got on Facebook. I was like, what? Them? They put that? There's some things I want to like, but I won't. Who knows what I'm talking about? I shouldn't be talking about this, should I? The Dos Equis guy? You know, you've seen those memes? I won't like those. You'll never see me like a meme. It's an accident if you saw me like that. Why? They put some funny stuff on those. But I will not like it. Why? Because it's a beer. It's a beer bottle. I won't like it. And if you've ever seen that I've liked something questionable, it's either because I didn't see it or I accidentally hit it. Man, when I first got on Facebook, I was flipping through my phone, and you know how it gives you recommendations of, oh, friends you may like? You know, they changed it, so it's different now. But I would just be like scrolling through it, and I didn't know I was sending all these friend requests because my finger would hit it, and I just slide up, and I'm like, oh, man. I'm like, who is that? I don't even know who that is. And then I realized what I was doing, and my wife started laughing at me. But look, Facebook opened me up to the fact that so many that go to church regularly are hypocrites. They're fake. Not real. Don't let that be said of you. Be real. Be genuine. Hey, when you mess up, just admit it. When someone says, well, what about you did that? Be like, you know what? You're right. I was wrong. I'm sorry. Forgive me. You can't change it. You can't change it. We may want to. There's a lot of things I want to change, but I can't. All I can do is say, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I hope I don't do it again. But be real, be genuine. Charity is an action that's going to manifest itself in real, tangible ways. Again, it's love in action. God in 1 Corinthians 13 lists 15 characteristics of love in action, and we're going to look through those. I'm actually going to stop early today. What? I'm going to stop 5 minutes early today because this is going to take me way too long to get through these. Some of you are saying, glory, hallelujah. No, yes, right, huh? Maybe I'll keep going for that one. Never mind. No, we're going to stop right there. That's insane that I never do that, huh? I did it for the Pumpkin Pie Fellowship. I stopped 5 minutes early. Eh? I think it was 2 minutes early. It might have been 2 minutes early. But look, let's not be hypocrites. Don't. If that's been you, change it. If you go to work and you're just one of the guys, change it. You're a hypocrite. Or you're not a Christian and you're real over there and fake here. If you go to school and you're doing all the same wicked things everyone at school does, change it. Be real. Be real. Walk in sincerity and in truth. John said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. He still wants to hear that. Every preacher wants to hear that. God wants us walking in truth. We're His children. So walk in truth. Be real. Let love in action be displayed through your life. You can't help everybody. It doesn't mean that you got to help everyone and give everything. But as God leads you, make sure you do it. Be willing to help somebody that can never repay you. Never. Just do what you can. Do what you can. Let's pray.